I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
So for us, it was interesting, right? I think one of the things we decided almost 3 to 4 years ago was that, and it almost came naturally, is that the only way we would grow is that we keep building people who can take our jobs. And that's literally been our focus, because we've always, me and Rohit and even Pooja, all three of us have that mindset of really saying, okay, we need to have some freshness in what we're doing. We can only do that if we keep taking on different things and doing that. And we can only do that if we start handing it down. So if I look about 3 years ago, our next in line was about 6 to 8 people. Now, if I look at our next in line, that's close to about 20, 25 people, right? And we spread that out. We build a large enough second and almost second and third rung in that sense, who handle different parts of the business in terms of creative, business, design, everything else. And that's really helped all of us, say, okay, man, now I've taken off 50% of my plate, right? Then I can, what am I adding in there? So every year we add more things in there. And that's literally, and while some focuses stay, like my focus has always been on our production content side of the business. Yeah. But my thing every year is, okay, I have someone who's taking care of X here, what more can I bring in to the table, right?
So That's a very interesting thing. Yeah, so when can I shed my own skin, essentially?
Then it gives the company a long-term view, right? So while we'll make sure that what we, the essence of what we want the company to be stays in terms of what we wanted it to be in the beginning, even if tomorrow, let's say hypothetically, if any of us decides to leave in 2-3 years, if it's large enough, you know, we've built people who can take over our roles and stuff like that, the company should still run and still scale the same way it does.
Really fascinating is that because you guys have had such different journeys, has purpose deeply driven into the whole thing. You started off with probably an absence of purpose, but some kida somewhere, which, okay.
Now, kida, that is what it was.
Kida, correct. And the second thing which I'm noticing is that obviously you have a different metaphor-driven thing. DE has a metaphor-driven thing, and A has looked at it very logically in the sense, okay, I need to do this. So I have to do this. Otherwise, you know, it won't grow to the next stage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But my question to, okay, so the second question, what do you think about organic versus inorganic growth? In your perspectives, what have you experienced? Because you clearly have grown, you've infused money. Maybe some people say, no, always be, you know, do what you're doing. Don't get anybody else to back you. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, I know that it's a sensitive area, but I don't want to know how you think about your financial backers. I wanted to know how the thinking is.
Sure. I feel that both of us will have the same answer to this one, but I'm going to let you go first.
No,
we might just have different ones, man.
Yeah.
So No, so honestly, Siddhartha, I believe in India specifically, I think we're very linear in our thinking. And non-linear thinking is less so in the country, needs to be developed, honestly. And inorganic, similarly, is a non-linear thinking, right? I believe at different points of time. So, for example, inorganic in our case could be instead of building a brand, acquiring a brand. And actually then scaling it up to another level. And that's a nonlinear way of sort of, you know, building. Finally, we intend to be a house of brands. Now, in that scenario, there are rarely, that thinking itself rarely exists here. While if you look at some of markets like US, inorganic and nonlinear thinking is very, very common, strategic tie-ups or acquisitions are way more, you know, relevant there. And that is why even the capital ecosystem and the venture ecosystem has develop very efficiently, so honestly, you know, horses for courses, depending upon the stage that you are at, depending upon what you are looking at to achieve and in what period do you want to achieve that, you as an entrepreneur should be open to both things, so the worst thing that you can do is, you know, close your mind to anything. And I mean, that's
How the hell do you make that decision then? Because you're open almost till the last. So, you know, you're playing like absolutely late. You're playing very late, right? Because this swing. So you're playing. How do you make that call whether to leave that ball or to play that ball in a late way? How do you do that?
I think some part data, some part gut, and finally, you can't really, you know, say ki yaar main har baar theek hi decision lunga, you will mess up, you know, a lot of times. Shit will also happen a lot of times, that's part of this you know, journey, and then, you know, you'll connect the dots later on ki yaar matlab ye theek tha ye galat tha, but during that time it is some part data which brings you to that decision, and then your heart sort of, you know, says one way or the another, and you just go there, we're still not in the AI mode where someone else can sort of take these decisions for us, so we gotta live with regrets, man, on some of these decisions, that is the fascinating part of this journey.
No, thanks. That's a pretty decent answer. It's a complicated question. Now I'll ask him if it's the same complicated answer or is it different complicated.
I have very similar thought process, to be honest, on this one, which is why I said what I said before. So, you know, there was this thing which I remember that so Ronnie Scovella is someone which I've always looked at as a great you know, benchmark, in terms of just like how he looks at things. And I remember there was an interview of his, and me and Rohit keep talking about this. Is one of those things we quote very often, is the fact that he said that only in India do you look at someone selling or bringing in a certain, letting go of certain level of ownership as a possible bad thing, right? If you see globally, getting in investment or scaling it up or bringing in more and more is actually considered to be a great thing, right? Yeah, but like, I remember like when we had done it, there were a few people who actually said, bech diya. And we're like, no, like we this is the way to scale it up, right? And it's about that balance of, like you said, that gut and data. So for us, okay, if we stick to being entirely independent as an agency, how long would it take us to scale to where we need to go versus getting acquired? And then, so we automatically now have a network globally we can tap into. We work on projects, not just in India, but across the board. And we've been able to do that because when we have a requirement, we turn to someone from within the entire network, right? And we say, okay. And sometimes they turn to us here. And so that's helped us scale a lot faster. And the idea was, don't lose the, so the thing is that the mistake you can make is don't lose the nimbleness you would have, the agility you would have. But still try and take advantage. It's a balancing game. Sometimes you'll go this way, sometimes you'll go that way.
When does the answer come in? Does it come in the middle of the night or something? Or what happens?
So in our case, because of how the agency space works, there are honestly only two options, right? One is the fact that you continue running it yourself and you scale it there, or you find the right partner to scale up with. So I remember that almost like 5 years ago was the first time we got approached. We didn't even know that's an option. First time we heard of that. We said, okay, fair enough. We're not ready yet, right? Then again, every year somebody kept coming back, and then eventually some of those conversations became a lot more interesting because we were looking at specific gaps we had. Like, for instance, we've been primarily a creative agency who had production capabilities, but Stuff like media, stuff like, you know, a deeper understanding of data, while you can get that yourself, being a part of a larger network gives us access to so much more on that space, right? I mean, we're able to tap into so many more insights, so much more data, and I have great media partners to work with.
Did,
so,
did it depend on people also you met? So, hey,
100%. Vibe is very important. Like, we had multiple meetings with networks and agencies, and it might have been a great deal, but we're like, no, it didn't vibe. So, and that's important because you have to work with those people for a long time. If vibe nahi chala, toh, nothing else matters, right? That's the most important thing. Because you have to deal with them for a long time to come. So, it's a mixture of all these things. And like he said, it's never going to be the right decision, right?
Okay.
It's always going to be, you'll always have issues with it later on, but you've done it now. Ho gaya, aage badho.
All right. So now I'm going to split question because I've got too many questions, right? So one question for Varun. And Varun, don't worry. Varun A, I'm keeping an eye out on the time for you. Here's the question for Varun A. Hi, I'm a part of the entrepreneurship cell in one of the new IIMs, and what I see are students are more interested in getting placements rather than looking at entrepreneurship. Okay, so do you recommend to start up after gaining some work experience, or if you have got a big idea, then just go for it? Because you clearly have done something. I'm just paraphrasing for this guy over here. You've clearly got a lot of work experience and then you jump ship. But do you think sometimes it just makes sense to start off when you're a baby or something?
I mean, examples of successes on both the sides are absolutely there, right? So, like I said, there is no right answer, right? And to a lot of such philosophical questions in life, there is no right answer, right?
Sure.
Probably 42 is the right answer, right? So in this case, it just sometimes you have to follow, your heart and your gut, right? So if you feel really strongly about something, right, and just feeling strongly about it is not enough, right? You have to do a lot of groundwork before you then finally make that decision, right? So doing some sort of research. I mean, have you put your mind to at least any idea, right? Or any, everything is largely about sales, right? Right.
Yeah.
Any idea can be pitched to a human, right?
Yeah.
And that can be done over cold calls, over people you know, over with your classmates, with your teachers, right?
Yeah.
Every time you will do that, right, you will learn something more, right?
Yeah.
It'll enrich you, right? And the end of, let's say, those 40 to 50 conversations, and I'm saying minimum of those conversations, right, you will at least have enough sort of, data in your mind, which is then needed to sort of, take that gut call, right? Yaar, ha, matlab, theek lag rahi hai cheez, right?
Yeah.
Abhi, it is about my heart, right? And I feel like sort of, putting all my... And once you take that decision, right, do not look back and say, ki yaar, aray, wo nokri kar leta, right?
Yeah.
Ya abhi bhi, jo hai, I can sort of, leave this and start applying off campus and all of that, right? Don't, right? Commit, give yourself a timeline, right? Bolo ki ye 3 saal tak try karo.
Because I'm in the academic world, maybe I can also contribute to
this thing.
So the issue is essentially one of student debt. So the moment I've taken a loan, and I'm also, Indian society is very judgmental towards success and failure. And so what happens is that everything, my marriage, my this, my that, everything is connected to that job, which is connected to a student debt. So you're jacked basically by the time you're in, by the time you're in postgraduate college. I've probably mentored over 200 people now in digital projects that we do in lieu of a thesis at MICA. And we've seen that almost nobody starts off immediately off college. They wait for a couple of years and then do it because they're getting that confidence out of that debt situation. I don't know. It's just the way things are, I suppose.
Like I said, we are a linear society here.
I think it's also the fact is you might not know enough about the market if you're still in college, right? So you need a little bit. Like, I mean, and it's also like you get a reality check, right? When you're in college versus when you actually get out there, there's a bit of a reality check in the first year that you get in many ways.
Yeah.
But I'll still say ki matlab koi wrong ya right nahi hai, right?
So
maar sakte ho, finally entrepreneurs take risk, right? And yes, you are putting that debt also at risk, right? Yes, you are putting possibility that your marriage might be pushed by a couple of years, right? But boss, tum 23 saal ke ho, matlab kya ye tension le? To abhi ye the life is so long, and your career itself is going to be so long. Your working life, right, will end up being almost 40 odd years, right, after you pass out of college. And I'm not sort of putting that curse on people who want to sort of retire in 10 years, but I'm generally saying data wise, right. So, agar wo itna lamba career span hona hai, right, usme 2 saal idhar udhar, right, ka koi farak nahi padta. Aur wo 2 saal kaun se ho, wo 40 mein ho, 30 mein ho, ya 22 mein ho, right, usse bhi koi farak nahi padta.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit of a stop and start at my end. But
we're fine.
You're fine. Okay, so here's my question to you guys. Varun A had to unlearn a lot of things when he had to, you know. And you had to learn about corporate shit.
Yeah. it's very strange. I like it actually. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So you're actually getting the job disguised as entrepreneurship in that sense. And Varun is actually, moving in the other way. That's really interesting. Now, my question to you, Varun D, is if you had to kind of do two things. One is ask a question to Varun A. Okay. About something that you want to learn, because I know entrepreneurs are damn good learners. Yeah, we I've seen that. Sure. They're just absorbing. So that, and the second is, what is one thing that you would tell him?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of any single company that starts off as a DTC company, right? Direct to consumer brands are like one of my like. I believe that's really been one of the biggest game changer in the last like 5 to 6 years across the board.
Correct.
I've always found it interesting because I'm guessing in your case, the answer is simpler, but finding the right category and then figuring out if you need to stick to that or scale it up, how do you kind of take that decision or how does that process work is actually what I've always found. Especially for your brand, because I'm a consumer, right? I have a daughter who's almost 3. So we've been through the journey of trying to find brands. Purchased multiple products from you guys, so which is why I also have slightly vested interest in asking you this question because I've consumed products.
Sure. So I think over time I've sort of built a point of view around this world. So initially when we started, I think there was largely that purpose and category was very clear because we were solving that problem in the baby care space, right? Over time, when I have understood the D2C model better financially, right, I can actually tell you the three specific ways, because now we are in probably 8 different subcategories, right? So we're in face care, we're in lip care, we're in body care, we're in hair care, and then we are looking at launching new brands, right? So it has to be a science now, right? So the three things that I believe we look at least before deciding if it's a great category from a D2C perspective,
right? Yeah.
One is, what is the average, what is the level of involvement in that category? Right? Mm-hmm. Internet, naturally, the first thing that you do on internet is search, right? And mm-hmm. the second thing that you do is consume content now, right? Mm-hmm. But it largely started with search and then moved on to other things, right? Mm-hmm. So anything that is prone to high level of involvement, which means that you research before taking a decision, is more tuned to a D2C segment. Right? Right. The second thing that we look at is what is the average ASP or average transaction price in that category. Right? Hmm. Now, on the first thing, if something is impulse for that matter, right? So if something like chocolates, right? Not a great category from a D2C perspective, right? Because you're not going to go and search too much on that category. You usually buy it, on an impulse. Right? So the second thing that works ASP for that category, right? Because in D2C, there is a certain fixed cost that you're working with, which is the cost of logistics, right? Now that cost is not a percentage cost, that cost is a fixed cost, right? So you've got to have at least 300 plus selling price to run a unit economics viable business in D2C. And the third thing that you look at is what is the frequency of consumption? So is the person at least purchasing that category once a quarter or not? Because in a lot of cases, when you acquire a consumer, right, you acquire them to be first time negative, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way to actually sort of make money over time in this model, right, is if there is frequency of purchase in that category and you can bring them back, right?
Yeah.
I think the fourth thing, if I was to add, is from a platform perspective, from, do you see having a land and expand strategy, which means when bring a consumer to your platform and then get them to buy more categories or buy more units or buy into a subscription or things like that, right? So do you have a land and expand play in that D2C segment? So I think these four is what I would say I'd look at.
And Varun, what is the one thing that you'd like to tell him? Varun,
I think you guys have a great brand. I mean, I'll be honest. I think as a brand, what you stand for, in my mind, because I was a first-time parent when we started buying. I think that's something that can be really expanded wide, yeah, and still maintain that essence. So I would say that's one thing which you should always, like, that should be one focus area. I'm sure it already is. I don't have to obviously tell you that, but I think interesting. I think your brand is very interesting because it's not a Johnson & Johnson, right? Because that feels like it's a lot of things. But with Mamaearth, I think it kind of very clearly in my head, I know what it stands for. So I think that's really, I don't think you should ever change that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that advice.
Okay. All right. So now the tables are turning. I promised you are going to have googlies towards the end of it. By the way, I'm really sorry, guys. There have been so many questions over here. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry to you guys.
You should ask them to tweet to us or something.
I think so, because there are so many questions, which I'm just going to read out by random. What kind of technologies aid in measuring marketing campaigns? How has it moved beyond just clicks and views? Do you recommend, this pandemic is a good option to start a startup as there is a continuous, downfall in
Twitter responses.
Yeah, God. So many. Do you have any? Okay, but I'm going to ask that question later. Varun, I don't know whether you know it or not, but Varun D runs a really interesting podcast called Advertising is Dead. Now, my question to you is, do you think advertising is dead?
No, it can never be dead. Right? form of advertising and form of media might change. Right?
Yeah.
But as long as there are brands and as long as there are consumers, right, advertising will always, strive and thrive, right? So the form might change, right? So there is a possibility. I mean, you'll be surprised with some facts. Like, for example, L'Oreal last year did not spend any money on TV in China.
Right? Correct.
Everything was moved to digital, right? And the largest part of that spend was actually influencers, right?
Right?
So there might be a time when all of us are just purely doing content marketing, right?
Correct.
And that is the biggest form of advertising. But advertising is all about telling your story, right, in a way that it lands on consumers' ears in the manner of positioning that you want it to land, right? So that can be achieved through multiple medias, but that is not going anywhere.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, final question to you guys, right? Are you ready for it?
Go for it.
All right. So, question is, obviously, things have gone to shit. Okay. Not right now for COVID-19 or pandemic, right? But in your journey, right, at one point in time, things have gone to shit, right?
Yes.
I know this. Every entrepreneur knows this, right? Now, obviously, you've had a dark night of the soul and stuff like that. I just want to know, in a short one, in a minute or two, right? Because I'm aware of Varun's time constraint. What is your go-to funda? Your go-to funda to... which helped you to get out of that?
Old Monk.
Okay. No. I'm talking of something that you tell yourself.
Okay. So no, I think I just start zooming out, right?
Yeah.
Shit and beautiful flowers sinusoidal curve, right, that you almost see it on alternate day basis, right? So you just need to zoom out a little, right, and talk about 6 months kaise rahe, right? Saal kaisa raha, right? Further zoom out, wo bhi shitty hai to aur zoom out, right? And say, shuru kyun kiya tha, right? Why did we start this, right? And is this shaking that pace, right, or not? And at some level of zooming out, you'll feel that this is अच्छा टाइम भी आया बुरा टाइम भी आया दोनों कट गए राइट दिस शैल टू यू नो पास राइट सो
आई एम एक्चुअली विजुअलाइजिंग यू डाउनिंग वन ओल्ड मंक एंड देन ज़ूमिंग आउट अ लिटिल वन अनदर ओल्ड मंक ज़ूमिंग
इन माय केस विद माय वाइफ
राइट वंडरफुल
टॉकिंग अबाउट हियर और यू रिमेंबर व्हेन दिस शिट हैपेंड इज दिस वर्स देन दैट राइट व्हेन यू लाइक आल्सो व्हाइल यू आर ज़ूमिंग आउट राइट यू आर समटाइम्स आल्सो ज़ूमिंग इनटू द वर्स्ट थिंग्स दैट हैव हैपेंड राइट एंड से कि अरे वो का ये लास्ट नहीं किया तो ये का क्या फर्क पड़ेगा सो थिंक लाइक दैट राइट आई थिंक दैट गेट्स अस थ्रू द नाइट
Okay, and quickly, Varun D, your answer?
So, I think that things go to shit very often, right? And that's the whole point of this. But the thing is, you need, what we've looked at is, okay, can it get worse? How come? And what
see, again, you're going the exact opposite way as Varun A does. He goes back, you go forward.
For example, there was a period of time when the largest part of our business was television production. We would do TV shows, we'd do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That kept going down and down because there were less and less margins we could make on that. So at some point in time, we had to sit down and say, guys, right now, this is not a sustainable business because we were bleeding because we were doing television properties.
Yeah.
And we said, okay, the only logical option was either to continue to bleed and try to do more of those or to say, let's not do those anymore. And we took the call of not doing that anymore because it was creating major fund issues for us. And so we did two things, right? One is we were honest with the people who worked specifically on those.
Yeah.
Tried to get as many of them different jobs, etc., and all that stuff. But we were honest with them. We even had a period of time where we didn't have enough funds, right? So there was a time, and it's a very weird thing.
Varun, I have a question. See, those are the actions you took. But what got you out of that?
I'm not a person who likes to dwell on a problem as much. I might lose my shit at that point of time. Like he said, like it could be the fact that you need to have a drink. I also luckily had a co-founder, so we could have that conversation. But the immediate response has always been, okay, what's the solution, right? What is the way ahead? If you sit and dwell on, oh my God, things have really gone sideways at any point of time, it's only going to get worse in your mind. No matter how big the crisis, at least my personal response has always been, okay, what's the solution? Like, how do we go ahead from this? Like, let's go ahead, which sometimes also comes across as like, one second, are you getting the gravity of what we have going on right now? But I'm like, what's the point of that? Like, let's figure out what way we need to go. And it's that first evening when these things happen, when you go out and have that drink and you have that conversation, you get it out of your system. And next day morning onwards, you fresh start and go out there and figure out a solution.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I know that Varun here has a hard stop, so I'm just going to stop this conversation. It was like Varun calling Varun, and I was just the phone in the middle. Thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure. I think we rocked this session. What I also think is I just want to apologize in advance if I have kind of tread on any toes or anything of that sort. I have to make a general statement all the time with this webinar because... you know, whatever. But what a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. I just wanted us to have this chill time rather than, you know, that typical webinar shit that we see a lot on LinkedIn.
No, I think this was so much better than I think the last six webinars that I've had.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All the best for everything. And do stay in touch with us. Yeah. And since we won't be talking after this, we normally have a call later on. Thank you so much from everybody at Colosseum as well as me. Yeah. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks for me.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.